Good evening. This is Betty Bronner. It's August 20th, 1991, and we're conducting an interview for Jewish Family History at the Jewish Community Center. This evening, I have the pleasure of presenting Mr. Louis Schwartz, who has consented to share his recollections with us. Mr. Schwartz, would you give us your name and, if you like, your present address?
Louis Schwartz, 5100 Highway 42, apartment 514, zip code 40241.
That's good. I thank you. And could you tell us how your family originally came to Louisville?
We came by way of Cincinnati from New Jersey. And I had a brother in Cincinnati. We went into the men's shoe business together, he being experienced in ladies' shoes. And within 13, 14 months, I came to Louisville and opened up here too.
And before your family was in Cincinnati, did they come from Europe then? Were there those who came from Europe a generation ago or two generations ago?
No, I'm talking about my present life.
Right.
What brought me to Louisville.
Itself, right.
But my folks came over in the 1890s or 1880s.
In the very early wave of immigration.
Yes, from Vilnius, Lithuania.
Which is
by way of Germany.
Oh, by way of Germany.
Mm-hmm. And they settled in New Jersey, Paterson, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Was there someone in New Jersey that they came to that place?
I do not remember that, mm-hmm. of having them come or somebody sponsoring them.
Right.
But probably someone did, because immigration at that time was quite open.
I didn't realize that in the late 1800s. The quotas were not so stringent.
No, they weren't. Mm-hmm. And they settled there and they opened a grocery store.
That's wonderful.
And as a matter of fact, catering to the Jewish families in Paterson, they were the outstanding store.
That's
they
marvelous.
Carried very high grade merchandise, fresh fish that came from New York every week that the people would come and select. And it would be delivered
at
home.
Oh, really?
Or they could take it with them. They would place an order.
Mm-hmm. We don't have that anymore.
No, that's old-fashioned.
That's right. And when you came then to Louisville, can you tell us something about what Louisville was like at that time?
Well, it was not a cosmopolitan city. But it was getting there. I think today it is a cosmopolitan city.
Yes.
And it was in 1941 that I opened the store here.
You want to give us the name of the store?
It was Jeff's Men's Shoes Incorporated.
Thank you.
In fact, we were incorporated in Ohio, Cincinnati store, under Ohio laws.
I see.
And within a very short time, I brought my family from Cincinnati to Louisville. At that time, it was very hard to find an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And homes were scarce, too, because it was just the beginning of the Cold War.
Right.
And
Mr. Schwartz, I understand that you had some interest in an apartment at one time. And what year was that?
That was 1941. I didn't have an interest in the apartment, but I was looking for an apartment. And they were scarce as hen's teeth. At that time, the beginning of the Cold War, and I finally knocked on somebody's door and I asked if there's any apartments so vacant. And he said, no. He says, however, I'm moving. I'm being transferred by Ford Motor Company to Detroit. And this one will be available. He recommended me to the landlord, the owner of the apartments. And the owner came to visit me in my business. And walked out, didn't say woo to me. 2 days later, he called me and told me to pick out my wallpaper at Wellendorf Brothers, Hubbock's in Wellendorf, which was right next door to my store, and to pick out wallpaper and have it decorated.
And there was no limit to?
To the amount of the wallpaper. Mm-hmm. In other words, there was no limit. And they painted the apartment, and it was just immaculate when they got through with it, which is something they don't do today.
You definitely don't find that now.
I experienced the same thing in my business. When I leased the apartment at the store, they asked me what they could do for me. I said, well, I don't want to fix it up. The walls, the heating. It was an old ramshackle cafe and restaurant.
I didn't know that.
So they split it up. There was a hole in the wall where one could walk through to the other. They patched it up, and they gave the contract to Avery Bornstein, who later I became a very good friend. We became very good friends. And they did a beautiful job. Did everything I asked them to, the windows, the measurements, and everything as I asked. So, and everything was done, which again, you don't find today.
No.
In today's business.
Definitely.
They'll lease it to you and you do the rest.
That's right.
And that's.
Would you tell us, please, about your finding your way to Louisville, so to speak?
Well, we were in business, my brother and I, in Cincinnati. And we made new friends there. I was a stranger to Cincinnati. He lived there. And they suggested we look at Louisville. So he got in touch with his brother-in-law who lived in Louisville, happened to be named Harry Resnick, who was very active in the Jewish community. So I looked around, and I finally found the spot I wanted, which was just a short distance from the 100% corner of Louisville at that time. And I leased the, I mentioned the store, didn't I?
I think, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how I arrived in Louisville. It was through Louis Glick, who was married to Sylvia Glick of the...
Can you tell us something about 4th Street, which was such a busy street in those days?
Well, in those days, there was merchants, Jewish merchants galore. In fact, they dominated more of downtown than, I would say, the Gentiles. And there was Bick's, Apples, Selman's, Kaufman Strauss, Levy Brothers, Love and Hearts, Younger Furriers, the Bon Ton, the Lipschitz Bookstore, which was quite famous, and Mosen King, Benzinger Furniture, Will Sales Furniture, and numerous others, too numerous to mention.
That's quite a few.
And
you were talking about lighting.
Oh, When Bruce Hobetzel was mayor of Louisville, there was a new light, an arc type light, came out, and he told us that if we raised a certain amount of money, he would match it with city funds, which was to take care of Market Street. I was on a committee of these to solicit funds, the matching funds. My territory was between Liberty and Market Street. One of our leading merchants would not contribute. So during a committee meeting, I mentioned that fact, and someone suggested contacting Mary Helen Beck, which I did. And she talked to this merchant, and he gave a very fine contribution. So Mary Helen Beck really had some clout, and she was a lovely woman.
All right.
The president of B'nai B'rith at that 1942 was Milton Perlman, and he came to me and asked me if I would chair the bond drive, the war bond drive, in the World War number 2. And I said I would, and we raised millions of dollars for the bond drive for several years. And of course we were acknowledged by Henry Morgenthau, who happened to be the Secretary of the Treasury of the United States. And we worked with people at Fort Knox on this deal. They were very helpful. And B'nai B'rith did a wonderful job. I had a committee that did a wonderful job. You can understand that raising several million dollars and was no easy task for just a Jewish faith.
And for a city like this one.
And a city of this size.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then later on I was asked to become treasurer of B'nai B'rith, which I was for several years. And I worked on all kinds of drives, UJC, and United Jewish Appeal, I mentioned that,
mm-hmm.
and the United Appeal of the area.
Mm-hmm. Like Metro.
Metro, United, United Appeal. They didn't mm-hmm. call it Metro in those days.
Mm-hmm.
It was United Appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And B'nai B'rith was very active.
It was.
In civic affairs. And
do you have any idea what the size of the Jewish community was in those days?
At that time, I was told it was around 1,200.
Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of work for a few people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And raising that kind of money amongst that group of families was no easy task.
No, I'm sure it wasn't.
The rabbi, I was a member of Adath Israel, which had our synagogue on 3rd Street between York and Breckenridge. And Dr. Rao, of course, was a avid Zionist, or not, he was against the State of Israel in the beginning. However, after one visit to Israel, he came back and told me that he has changed, and he made trips there every year. And usually he'd come in and get a new pair of rubbers before he went to Israel. Always had rubbers. Rubbers and an umbrella.
I guess he needed it.
Yeah. And when he came back, he would stop in the store and we'd sit down and talk about his experiences. And he was amazed of how the changes were being made in Israel.
So he, by going back, he saw so many.
Yes. And he was a wonderful person and a very dear friend. I was born in Paterson, New Jersey in 1903. And the city at that time was quite a bedlam, because of the strike situation. The IWW, Industrial Workers of the World, were trying to organize the silk workers, which was called, Paterson, New Jersey, was called the Silk City of the World. And it was rather a hectic town at the time of this organization work. And as a little fellow, I went to school, which was a couple blocks away, public school. And we were more or less in a neighborhood of, you might call it the ghetto. However, we were only two blocks from the main street. And we had a mixture of Irish, Italian, as a matter of fact, Abbott and Costello's father had a restaurant right around the corner. And it was quite a mixture of people and merchants, as it was in Louisville. And as a youngster, I grew up, and I guess you've never heard of a child being run over by a horse and wagon.
No.
And I was. However, I was on a bicycle, and I ran into this horse and wagon. And it ran over me.
Oh, my goodness.
However, when I got home that night, there was no damage to me, but I was spanked by my parents, by my father. And we had our customs as I grew up. On election night, we got gathered all the wooden barrels in the backyards of people, of homes, and we started the fire right in the middle of the street. That was always an election ritual. And that was part of our custom every year. And of course, we had fights with the different neighborhoods, different people, the Italians, who were just a block away from their neighborhood, and the Irish and the Jews seemed to get along pretty well.
Is that right?
Yeah. And the synagogue was about three blocks away. My folks were very Orthodox. I went to a private, had a private tutor, and one thing I can remember, he used to feed me a piece of bread. Keep me interested. Huh. And it was every afternoon after public school.
About what age was it?
This was around 10 and 11 and so on. And he was one of the foreigners from the old country, but he was a very gentle man and a world of patience.
And he came to the house?
No, I came to his place.
You went to his home?
Yes, where it was quiet.
Right.
And we had appointments at that time. There was private. Each person had his own appointments.
And was there Sunday school?
Yes, there was Sunday school. And I remember one event on Yom Kippur. Of course, the older parents went to synagogue and they stayed there all day. And one year I did not show up to kiss my father and greet him as all young people were supposed to do. And he wouldn't talk to me for weeks.
Oh my.
And that was my punishment for not coming.
To see him.
To see him that mm-hmm. year. Well, I never missed a year after that.
It worked.
It worked. And horses pulled the streetcars.
The horses pulled the streetcars.
Right. In the early years.
And were they on tracks?
Yes, they were on tracks, and one horse would pull this, the wagons were small.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Horse and wagons and a driver, and then there was a conductor. As you might see on 4th Street today. However, it's a one-man deal mm-hmm. on 4th Street. And they were on tracks. There were automobiles, but they were in their infancy.
I see.
And long about, the 1908 or something like that, or a little earlier than that, there were some automobiles coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And the horses became bewildered when these things came by them.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm. Along 4th Street, there were wells and many other streets in the downtown area. And some of the buildings here got their water supply from these wells. And
they must have been quite deep.
They were very deep.
Mm-hmm.
And there were stories about streetcars falling into the wells.
Mm-hmm. Because I remember cars did that.
Mm-hmm.
And was that water connected with the river? Did it flood when the river flooded?
No, this was wells.
I see.
Pure wells, not from the river.
I see.
I don't know where the water came from. But
maybe artesian wells.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the Sealback Hotel used to get their, they would sell the steam to other buildings from the water through their boilers.
Really?
They supplied many buildings with heat.
I never knew that. Mm-hmm. And what were the hotels that were here? The Sealback?
Well, you had the Sealback, you had the Brown Hotel in one,
mm-hmm.
and the Kentucky Hotel. And there was one at 6th and Main Street. There was a hotel there, which later became a restaurant.
Wasn't the Milner? There was a Milner.
No, the Milner was at 3rd and Market Street.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those are the only ones that I remember.
Right. But they were going pretty well in downtown
yes.
in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike today.
And I don't know whether some of you people, there is a basement in the Sealback Hotel that is a very beautiful place. But as a member of the Downtown Retail Merchants, we used to hold meetings there.
I see.
And we'd have dinner.
That was the Rathskeller?
The Rathskeller, that's
mm-hmm.
right. And later on, as a member of the Louisville Businessmen's Club, which was a different club are different than the downtown merchants. We used to hold our meetings at the Seal Bank at one time, and then at the Kentucky, and the Henry Clay Hotel.
Oh, yes.
Which was owned by the Levy Brothers at that time.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And at Derby time, these trains used to come from all over the country. And they would back into the tracks there at 10th and Broadway. And they were sleepers, Pullman cars. The people slept right on the trains during their stay here. And downtown Louisville, 4th Street in particular, was just a hubbub of people from all over the world that would come to the Kentucky Derby.
Pretty clothes.
Beautiful clothes. And as a merchant, we had some of our biggest days around Derby time.
I'm sure.
They came from all over.
And how did they get to the track?
By buses or trolleys.
Uh-huh. The trolleys ran all the way out there?
Yes. Uh-huh. 4th Street trolley ran all the way out.
I see.
To the track. And the children aren't.
Right. I want to thank you so much for all of your time given to help us and to do this valuable tape, which I know will be wonderful for your grandchildren from now on.
Thank you very much, Betty.